thrilled to be here. I can tell you that the O'Vale reading is well known and highly regarded in New York thanks to Quincy Lair. I don't know if you guys know Quincy. I imagine some of you do. I'm going to read a few poems from my chapbook, which is called Aquinas Lynch. I'm going to start with one that is basically a triptych. It's called The Scene from Shaft, In Memoriam Isaac Hayes. Part 1, Geometry. We dig the architecture of a hit. The hi-hat takes us in all loose and tight, with wah-wah-late guitar laid open. The lyric pipes are flying high and light. The tape-together charts for high school horns lay out a little longer than they should. The rhythm section tenses like it's torn between the dialectics, and that's good. But nothing comes to nothing till the string ensemble disrespects the starting gun and cuts its lines up over everything. You kick the snare kit twice, and then you run and shut your mouth. Bad mother's coming. Ain't nobody understanding like this woman. Part 2, Social Studies. Some things are just too perfect, baby. Like the sky's green street. Part 2, Social Studies. Some things are just too perfect, baby. Like the sky crane sweep of urban exoskeleton, real time to the hi-hat tap and tambourine. That's right, perfect. Like a section of the uptown wind, all private dick and lady exit. Chef, right on. A complicated bedroom scene with foxy high tone and an emerald fist of pistol. Call it black exploitation if you want. You can call it what you will. See, I'm just talking about the man. Part 3, History. In the stone-astonished week of Revelation, on a road no longer strictly Roman Catholic, I heard its tin can true sophistication. To the caves of adolescent masturbation, where my playboy daydreams blew most graphic and astonishing, there came a revelation, and my worldview went on permanent vacation. In my father's fair lane, driving to Passaic, I heard its tin can true sophistication on the backseat vinyl. Cracked communication of the blackest, bulbous, spoken lyric, tonic weakness jacked to revelation, left my grand funk railroad at the station. High school horns, once loathsome, came on mythic in their state of tin can true sophistication. And the AM kept this Isaac in rotation long enough to tribe me to the classic. In the stone astonished week of revelation, when I heard the tin can true sophistication. My son is fully loosened up. I can always play the jet lag card, right? Mm-hmm. Except that I've been here for 4 days. All right, the next one is called The User of Vicenza. The junkie with his cordwood arm and cable veins lifts flaky powdered donuts in the cafe sun at curbside, reading La Repubblica. His eyes are wide and fixed, his hair and beard, the tangled black, the latter thickly matted with a paste of white confection that he breathes, oblivious to crowns. He holds a space created for him, and he crowns the edges, sidestepped by all pilgrims on the vein of Corus Palladio. A Roman figure, white, beneath a surface coat of moss and vines. The sun has not forgotten him, but bakes the spread of black protuberances where his needles thread the eyes of clustered stars. A crusty zodiac. His eyes are limestone hollows filled with leaves and crowds of angels blackened by neglect, bubonic, black, and biblical. The clotted stone contorts in vain and crumbled flesh aspires to ideals. The sun, a Michelangelo, immaculate and white. Then melting like a host, he loses all his white enthusiasm for the arts before their eyes becoming flesh and petrifying in the sun. The user on his pedestal is drawing crowds that keep respectful distances. The pilgrims vain and languorous who saunter cobblestones in black subconsciously admit they see themselves in black and white each time they pass with stone no longer white. This morning monument and martyr in the vein of Saint Sebastian. You can see it in their eyes. A beatific recognition to the crowds of self-afflicted celebrants, Fellini's son communicants, and all the dying in the sun pedestrians for whom the future isn't black, but blackening. Thoreau Vicenza's morning crowds among the alleys of basilicas and powders, white and permanent, that teeth with black, addicted eyes, a man reach out his gleaming, buckle-noted vein to turn page. The vein that channels to the sun the constellation of their eyes along its black and blue appendage to the white receding clouds. Vicenza, Italy, July 2nd, 2007. Okay, this one is called Shrine to Satan. The neighbor's child has built a mighty shrine to Satan in our yard, and I'm supposed to cut the lawn. Okay. But look at those croquet clubs that she used. These guys are mine. To pound her pentagrams of chicken bone into the ground. The handles are unscrewed from all the hammerheads. It's kind of shrewd the way she plays that play school telephone. Still, little girls should not touch garden tools or take the plastic rake out of the shed. She's tied it with those jump ropes in the trees. A shattered flower pot. The Barbie head. Horrific how this child has learned the rules of Belial for sculpting if they breathe. I will do one more. I've got some copies of the chapbook. Those for $10 in New Jersey, but for you, 5 euros.
Right.
Top price, right? This is about a guy that used to work in my building in New Jersey. It's called the Sandwich Man of Thornall Towers. The Sandwich Man's a gangsta bon vivant, all wiry in his crumpled paper hat. He faces down a proletariat of pasty-faced insurance men who want soggy tuna fish on rye, a layer fat with mayonnaise and on the bread like that. He hops and hollers, but instead of calling next, he fronts with, "Step up, player!" Their eyebrows tell it all. He's tempting fate as lotto ladies start to bag their own, preferring straight and boxed and neatly ranked attendants at the sandwich bar. Go home, he's told on Monday when he rolls in late. A flower blooms that's going on, it gets yanked. Thank you very much.